Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Keith Herbert broadcasting live from DeVille Square, Pensacola Business Radio. And I have a full studio of wonderful guests here today that are here to talk about all of the fantastic cyber, I guess that's going to be our word today, cyber things that are going on in our community. So I'm just going to let you, let's go around the table, introduce yourself and let everybody know what you do, and let's start talking about this.
Good morning. I'm Angela Irby. I'm the instructor for Pine Forest High School and the Cybersecurity Academy.
Jim Nitterauer. I'm a senior systems administrator at App River.
Good morning. I'm Emmanuel Sheikh. I'm director of the Center for Cybersecurity at the University of West Florida.
All right. I'm Josiah Robinson, and I'm a student in the Pine Forest Cybersecurity Academy.
And for the record, Josiah is our rock star today. Okay. So, you know, who wants to jump in first? Because you guys are doing some really big things here in the community.
Yeah, it's great to see how cybersecurity has really become such an important aspect of our community and to see all the support behind it. So from a homegrown activities such as Cyberthon that has government, industry, and academia backing it in a way to kind of facilitate and help students all the way from elementary school students to college students learn about cybersecurity and get more involved in opportunities to camps and competitions like Cyber Patriot to the variety of academic programs and opportunities. It's great to see where somebody could be start learning about cybersecurity as early as elementary school, yeah. Go through, get their training, and continue on to a great career in cybersecurity in the Pensacola area as well.
Yeah. So let's talk about that for a second, because there are pathways here, right? So let's highlight that. You said elementary school. I can really start learning about all this stuff that young?
Yes. In fact, this was the second year that we hosted the community-hosted Cyberthon. It's run through the AFSCIA, the local AFSCIA Blue Angels chapter. And this year they invited a group of elementary school students to start kind of getting their feet wet in cybersecurity, learn about it, see what happens, and watch some of their peers, the older peers, the high school students and the college students who competed, see what all that's about and get excited. And hopefully they'll be back as they get older to continue learning about it.
Yeah. So Josiah, this is sort of where you come in, huh? You did all this?
I actually only started my cybersecurity career in Pine Forest.
Yeah.
In middle school, I really had no clue what I was doing. I was an engineering kind of person. But the main thing that brought me to Pine Forest was the Cybersecurity Academy.
Yeah. So how old are you? Let's tell everybody.
I'm only 15.
Yeah. Okay. So, and how many years have you been sort of working with this kind of stuff?
Only two. Oh. I mean, I've been a computer person since I was in like late elementary school, of course, but.
Yeah. And you find it just totally just gets you going, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So where do you see yourself doing it through the rest of your school career now?
Well, certainly, definitely the Cybersecurity Academy. I'm also in the Robotics Academy at Pine Forest. But I'm definitely seeing a focus on cybersecurity in my future.
Yeah. And would you say that doing some of these programs that we're talking about here today has helped guide you and facilitate you into where to go in that direction?
Certainly.
Okay. Perfect. That's exactly what you love to hear from a 15-year-old kid who says, I can finally find some direction and somebody who's willing to throw down an avenue of success. Congratulations. So, keep going. Tell me what Cyberthon is for those that have not been to it.
So Cyberthon is a community event that's designed to give students a chance to compete and get exposure to cybersecurity training. It's hosted by the local chapter, the Blue Angels chapter of AFSCIA. And it's really a lot of the community partners have come together to make this happen. So it started 2 years ago, backed by the government. The Department of Homeland Security is a big supporter, the school districts, the industry partners in town, App River and a lot of other companies, the University of West Florida, Pensacola State College, lots of people coming together, really trying to figure out how can we get the word out about cybersecurity and how can we get students interested and excited about it early on. And so it's a competition. Students come, they can form their own teams or they can join a team. They get to go through real exercises where they are given attack scenarios simulated. So we've set up an environment where there's an attack scenarios. They figure out how they can protect. First, figure out if it's harmful or not, what they can do to prevent prevent any results damage from that as a, if possible. And then they kind of learn about it hands-on. So it's a very fun environment. It's very experiential learning, but it's also designed at the same time. There's workforce and various panels to talk to them about career opportunities. There's industry experts and academic experts there to talk to them about how they can improve their skills, what to do to help get better. So it's a great fun environment to really learn and get involved. And I'm sure those who participated can kind of give you a little bit more detail on what their perspective was.
She's looking at you.
Yeah, well, also they have the IT professionals actually sit side by side with them and help them guide them along the way.
Yeah.
So they have like their attackers in another room. And then so they kind of let the students try to figure it out on their own, and then they kind of guide them and lead them as they're doing it.
Yeah. So you've got some real valuable hands-on training going on.
Absolutely.
And then you said something, you said Cyber Patriot. So this is like level two or?
Well, Cyber Patriot is a club that we offer our students at Pine Forest High School to participate in. And it's a national competition. So last year I had two teams. We had about nine students. This year we have five teams with 25 students, one team being an all-female student team this year. We're trying to promote more women into the cyber field also. But they compete over the internet. They do what they're basically doing is hardening systems like Windows 7, Vista, Windows Vista 8.1 servers and so forth. So they're given different type, not, it's a little different than Cyberthon, but they're given like a README text. They're given some hints, but not all hints of what to look for. And they compete against everybody across the nation. And this year there was 3,300 teams they competed against.
Wow. Wow. That many, huh?
Yes.
Holy cow. So let's make sure we got the good guys on our side, right?
Yes.
So what kind of skills are important to succeed in this kind of industry?
Well, they definitely need to be interested in technology, of course.
You kind of have to want to do this, huh?
Right. Well, like in our academy, when we first start, they start the academy, we our first focus on networking so that they understand how a network works in order to be able to protect that network.
Right.
So then we start focusing on cybersecurity, you know, how to secure your systems.
Yeah. Jim, what do you guys at App River, what do y'all look for when it comes to skills and having people come on board with a company like yours?
Well, a lot of it's certifications. You know, basically what you're teaching, we bring a lot of young people in and we use them as apprentices or through work study, and they come and they work with our team, managing networks, protecting networks, you know, doing distributing workstations, managing people's ability to use computers in the environment. There's all different kinds of scenarios, but they all kind of overlap. The biggest thing is what you were talking about, the basic understanding of how a network works, how it's connected, how computers are interconnected, how computers work. There's a lot of great certifications for that that are, they're comprehensive, but they're pretty easy once you start to get through the understanding.
Yeah.
So we guide people into those kinds of things. And then from there, then they learn their specialties based on what they really have an aptitude for.
Yeah. And it sounds to me like you, it's a more of a, you have to have the hands-on experience. It's not a textbook or a sort of a classroom.
You have to have both, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely both. I mean, you can have the hands-on experience, but that kind of leads you with blinders. I would imagine even the experienced cybersecurity guys are learning from the students that they're sitting next to guiding. Like, oh, wow, there's something I'd never thought of before.
Yeah.
That person just showed me. So it's a continuing ongoing learning experience.
Yeah. See, I told you were the rock star here.
And we try to enforce that through the activities such as Cyberthon and Cyber Patriot, where it's really about problem solving, right?
Yeah.
So you're given a situation. How do you work to kind of figure out what's going on and how you can protect or defend your network against it? And so the technical skills, like they mentioned, the programming skills are very important. But also in addition to that, the soft skills are important. So the teamwork, right? Just by forming a team and being able to figure it out together, communicating with your team to figure out what you're going to do next is very important. And those are the kind of skills that then get them ready for those career opportunities later on.
Yeah. And is that a pretty universal sort of gap that you find not only here in local, but just across the nation when it comes to technology?
I think it's something that we're becoming increasingly aware of the importance of, right? So that it's very important to kind of for students to get these skills going on. It's not just like you mentioned earlier, where it's just the theoretical aspects and the conceptual aspects. You've got to have that, but you've got to be able to apply it, and you've got to be able to have some experience knowing when to do what, right? So the situation that you see with your network, or as we see, for example, attacks that we hear about on the news almost weekly now, the next attack is always different, right? And so you've got to kind of go beyond your typical textbook and situation. You've got to be able to know what to expect and how to deal with it. And so that really requires a lot of that kind of critical thinking, problem solving, plus hands-on experience.
Yeah. One of the things that I know I've just witnessed just from being part of Viaten and talking with other entrepreneurs is, as there has been this gap between the actual skill it takes to do this kind of work into the companies that are now blossoming, but I couldn't get this stuff when I was a kid in school, you know, and I couldn't do any of these kinds of programs at elementary or middle school. So watching all of this sort of come together from both sides, that probably in the next 5 to 10 years is going to finally be this awesome cohesive career path that you could choose all the way from elementary school on. Like, if you find out you're interested, now you have all these unlimited resources open to you. Is that something you guys are sort of seeing?
I certainly think like what they've done at Pine Forest with the Cyber Academy has been a great example, and, and hopefully that other schools and can kind of work towards those efforts, because, you know, Angela, I know you could talk a little bit about how that started, but I think it's great. We're always trying to work with the school districts to kind of promote more cybersecurity. We're trying to offer some camps this summer at UWF and hopefully get more schools and more teachers on board with the idea. So I think it's great that we have examples like what they're doing at Pine Forest, and that they've been so active in the community, and the students are participating and they like it, because hopefully that'll kind of become a snowball effect, and we can continue to expand that within the district and within the region.
Yeah.
Right. And just the fact that we have a lot of support from a lot of people in the community has just been, it's just been rewarding for the students.
We all rise or we all sink, right?
And we had mentioned earlier the certifications. We do, our students do work towards industry certifications. The first year we start out kind of easier with the networking fundamentals certification and the security fundamentals certification. But our second year students, we are trying to work towards our CompTIA Security Plus certification. So
so you can come out of the gate swinging. I mean, you're you know, hitting the ground running, basically. You've got some good things under your belt.
And earlier we were mentioning Cyber Patriot, and we're talking about how the community's been helping. Last year, the kids did really well with Cyber Patriot. We didn't qualify for nationals, but they did pretty well. We ranked like number 4 in the state of Florida. And so we had donations from AXIA, the Air Force.
All the acronyms.
They donated some money for the kids to go to Washington, D.C. last year. And the kids got to witness the national competition last year. So I took 9 students with me. And Josiah could probably tell you a little bit more about
that. Yeah, man. What is all this like from your point of view in your world? Because I know you get into this and you see the tech stuff, but you're into it because you really like it. And I don't know if you're aware of some of the other side of this stuff that we're talking about, as if that's as much a prominent piece of this world for you. But I'm curious what it is from your point of view doing all this stuff.
Well, I've participated in everything you've talked about so far, and it's been fun. Like, all the way through, all of it is entertaining as well as valuable as a learning experience.
Do you feel like you're getting the message that there's a place for you when you're done here, when you're done training? There's somewhere for you to go that you can be successful?
Definitely. Yeah. At Cyberthon, I was offered an internship at one of those companies, like GBSI or something like that, but I'm too young to take it.
Yeah,
so
it's not a bad problem to have, man. 15 and already getting offered internships. I mean, that's awesome. So, what do you want to do next? What's the next like tech thing that you just want to knock out of the park?
Well, I'm just biding my time until I get another opportunity.
Yeah. What are there any things that you've seen so far that you would like to see duplicated? Are there any new things that you'd like to see some competition-wise come up or skill-wise that you haven't learned yet?
Well, mostly we've been learning about Blue Team and defending, but just something that I'm thinking, cybersecurity is a double-sided issue. You need to know how to attack in order to know how to defend correctly. Right. And I've been seeing a lot of hesitancy from the school district about teaching us how to offensively hack, but I think that's necessary for our education.
So a whole lot more, I guess, is that the red team?
Yeah.
Okay, so blue team's defend, red team is attack, huh? Okay, and that makes complete sense. So what's next for you guys?
Well, we're planning on revamping our our labs. So that's going to help the kids even more as we proceed through the academy. One of the other things that we offer through our academy is that we have the Coder Dojo Club, and that's where our students are learning programming. Right now we're focusing on C++. They're working with Arduinos where they're programming lights and music and different things, and they're getting excited about it. Our goal is hopefully once they get good enough, maybe we can build a little small robot and program it. That's what we're kind of focusing on in that club. And the other things that we teach with cybersecurity is also ethics. You know, just because you're able to do it may not, you know, it's not necessarily what you should do. And they should really think about some of the things that they do so they don't come back to haunt them later on.
So that you're the good guy, not the
right,
bad guy. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about careers for a second, because we keep using the word cybersecurity, but I know that's a very broad term, right? So what are some actual careers that are out there now that you can use these programs to get into?
Pretty much any IT, or actually any company, has cybersecurity issues that they have to be concerned with. So even if it's not necessarily an IT company, all companies need to be aware of the potential harm that can be done to their computers and have cybersecurity individuals be able to protect those systems. So there's tons of jobs out there in IT. I'm just drawing a blank for a minute, but...
I think the good thing about cybersecurity is there's such a range of jobs. So there's network analysts and kind of like what
I think that's what I was getting at. Like,
so one of the things people lose focus on is IT stands for information technology, and really the computers and the network are just avenues for accessing the information.
Right.
The computers are worthless pieces. They're tools. Mm-hmm. The thing that's valuable is the information, the intellectual property, personal data. All of those things are what you're actually protecting.
Yeah.
And then that is how – that's the focus. What happens from there is you get branched off into different careers that talk about policies and risk management and firewalls and network protection and computer protection. So I think the focus sometimes gets lost that we're protecting information and not necessarily computers.
Right.
Right.
So you really do have an entire avenue under one umbrella.
Yep.
Yeah, and the great thing is that there's such a huge demand for these types of jobs. So there's certainly, it continues, cybersecurity jobs is growing. The U.S. Department of Labor said is growing at the rate of 18%, which is much higher than the kind of average rate for their jobs. And within information security in particular, it's growing at a rate of 53%. And the Michael Brown, CEO of Symantec, had identified in a recent report that we're expecting a global need for cybersecurity professionals of 6 million by the year 2019, with a shortfall of 1.5 million projected. And so it's a great career to think about because, like you mentioned, there's such a range of career opportunities within it.
Yeah.
And there's a need for them, and they're very great paying jobs. So the
You can make yourself valuable real quick, can't you?
Yeah, the Department of Labor reported an average job for a cybersecurity professional of $89,000. And so that's really huge, with a lot of potential within that area to be growing. So cybersecurity software engineers make the average, I think the Department of Labor was around $233,000. So there's a lot of growth. There's a lot of need.
Yeah.
What's great about it is that it's certainly helpful both within our area and within kind of the nation. You look at something that this is a critical need for our nation moving forward, is to protect our systems, both within industry, both within the government. Also looking at the Internet of Things and physical systems. Now you've got people in their homes with smart devices, and that's going to continue to evolve. And so it's a great way to really be helpful to both your local community and the national community as well, as think about pursuing a career in cybersecurity.
Yeah, one thing I think the state just put through, there was a bill through the House and Senate of adopting computer languages as the ability to serve as your language credit for college. So you're going to see a lot of these colleges now.
So I don't have to learn Spanish anymore?
Right. So if you're in an IT track, that can count as your foreign language.
When you said helping out your local community, and to me, that is huge, because I think some of the other stuff you're saying is not only is this growing so fast, but you need to become involved with it on not only a local level, state or federal level, but you also need to help shape how it affects your community going forward. I think that is one of the things that I have seen here with Pensacola and Gulf Breeze and surrounding areas, is that there are so many that really love living here and being part of this community, that they are really doing their best, like you guys have here, to just sort of shape the future with it. Just a thought.
I think it's the motto I know for Cyberthon and that many continue to echo is that, you know, homeland security starts with hometown security. Yeah. And it really, I think, is a great way to kind of think about how each and every one of us can kind of get involved and help out. So
yeah.
Even within the local schools and within our own institutions, thinking about how we can get involved to help do better in
yeah.
security. And then how can we come together to kind of help? And certainly things like you mentioned where Coder Dojo and other efforts to kind of get kids involved will maybe help give them that training and that mm-hmm. expertise area early on and then be able to kind of put it back to use to the community. So I think events like Cyberthon and Cyber Patriot certainly help bring the community together where we all think about how can we make things better, but also how can we make Pensacola a destination for people who want
yeah.
to be involved mm-hmm. in cybersecurity? Because
yeah.
the things that are going on around here are just fantastic to see the expansion within the programs that we offer, the expansion within the school districts, the expansion within industry, within the Department of Homeland Security and other government agencies is great. And so I think we're at a point where we can really do something great for the area, but also have Pensacola do something great nationally as well within cybersecurity.
Yeah. Do they ever worry that they might be training future bad guys?
Well, I think that, you know, you raised a good point earlier on. And so part of it is you really have to be at the cutting edge. But part of it is also ethics, right? Mm-hmm. And how do you do this?
Yeah.
What's the correct thing to do? And so, for example, at the University of West Florida, our bachelor's program in cybersecurity, we've mapped our curricular guidelines to the NSA and Department of Homeland Security curricular guidelines. And one of the courses and topics that we teach is ethical hacking and penetration
mm-hmm.
testing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's exactly what Josiah mentioned earlier, that you can't just knowing how to defend isn't sufficient, right? You've
yeah.
got to kind of know the technology behind it.
Yeah.
You've got to be at the cutting edge because the next attack won't be like
yeah.
what we've seen previously.
You sort of have to take on that other persona for a moment.
Right,
yeah.
and something
yeah.
new. And so it's very important to kind of be able to teach that within an environment where you teach about why you're using this, the right way to do this, and also be able to test with it. So we've built we call it our battle lab. It's our cybersecurity battle lab, which
yeah.
is really a sandbox for experimenting with these type of technologies.
Okay, so hold on. I've heard that word a bunch of times, and I don't understand the concept. What's a sandbox?
So a sandbox is really, think about it as a playground. I like
okay,
to call
sure.
it a sandbox.
Yeah.
It's a playground for testing various attacks, various network scenarios, various situations that can happen, bad guy attacks, and that you can have something like that that's completely off your network
uh-huh.
so that you don't
okay.
affect everyone else going on.
So it attacks it, just sort of hits the sand and then
yeah,
it's done.
So you can
exactly.
let a virus run free on a virtual machine in a sandbox and you don't care what it's going to do because it's going to
nowhere.
Do its thing and
okay.
do nothing anywhere, right?
Right.
It's kind of a dead end.
Okay.
So simulation, like a
yeah.
simulated environment where
yeah.
you're free to kind of create attacks, to
uh-huh.
protect against attacks, to figure out what different options, how scenarios could play out and how what you're doing would affect it, and still have the kind of, you know, making sure that once it all stays in the sandbox, right?
Yeah.
Nothing's
nobody's throwing
over.
Sand out of the box. Yeah, I gotcha. I gotcha. Josiah, what do your friends say when you tell them you're doing this sort of cutting edge kind of stuff? I mean, they look at you and like, yeah, whatever. Or are they like, dude, that's cool? I mean, how's that roll?
Well, a lot of my close friends are in the Cybersecurity Academy as well.
So you guys are all fighting the sandbox together, huh?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But the friends who aren't, they're pretty much jealous.
Yeah.
My friend Brett, he's constantly, well, he's not really wanting to be, but he's jealous that I have all these job opportunities and stuff like
yeah.
that so easily.
Very cool. So, and my next question is what I always get from like my mom and my grandmother is, do you get like a million phone calls to like come help fix everybody else's computers?
Well, no, but if I did, I would start charging for it.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Very cool. Very cool. So it's getting warm outside, right? And summer's coming up. So do y'all have plans for this? Does this stuff carry over through school years and during the summer?
Yes. Well, actually with Cyber Patriot, we work on that all year long. So once Nationals is over in April, we'll be starting the expedition rounds, which are basically practice rounds. And we'll be doing like different practice rounds all throughout the summer. We'll try to do another cyber camp. And hopefully the Gen Cyber mm-hmm. camp, hopefully this summer. I'm also planning a trip to Huntsville, Alabama. I'll be probably taking some students with me to that for the National Cybersecurity Summit. And hopefully there's a competition I got to check into a little bit more. I think it's called Capture the Flag that we may be trying to get into.
CTF. That. Just heard this term this morning.
So we're playing, you know, we are trying to get them involved in as many things as possible to keep their enthusiasm into technology.
Yeah. So how does the internship programs work with this, within all this structure?
Well, our goal is to hopefully get the students internships so they can get some hands on and then go on to college and continue their education. Mm-hmm. Being that this program is new, most of my students last year were freshmen. Most of them are freshmen and sophomore. I have very few seniors at the moment, just because the program is so new. So making those business connections through different partners at Cyberthon and around the community, and we've been working closely with UWF. UWF has been just phenomenal with helping us out. Mr. Anthony Pinto is one of the mentors for the Cyber Patriot team, and he's helped out with the competitions and all the training of the students. So, and they've been nice enough to let us use their facilities during our competitions.
They're really good at integrating stuff into this.
Absolutely.
Other stuff into the other stuff and finding the other guy and the other guy.
So, it's been a really great partnership.
What, a couple of things. One, if I want to get involved in any way, shape, or form, or if I'm a kid or wanting to do this kind of stuff, or even a parent or a business wanting to help, how do I do that? And two, what are your needs from the community that would help facilitate any more growth that you all need?
As far as getting the growth, getting the word out that we have this. Some people may not be aware that we offer the Cybersecurity Academy, and getting the students started young and then getting their enthusiasm and letting them know what the possibilities are for the future, and then working with our colleges and getting them to further their education and making those connections is definitely going to help with them getting jobs and the internships. As far as what parents and other community leaders can do, I welcome any help that we can get. Anybody that wants to come volunteer, they would have to, of course, do a background check to make sure everything's kosher before we let them in school. But like for Cyber Patriot, they want to help out with Cyber Patriot, we welcome volunteers or Coder Dojo. Next year, we're kind of changing our schedule the way we're going to go to all block classes, and we're going to have this what we call a power hour, which is students will be able to sign up for various different classes during that power hour to get additional help or training. And so my goal is I would like to find some volunteers for programming, if they can come in and help my kids with programming during that power hour is what I would like.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. And I think to add on to that, so certainly opportunities to kind of help out and kind of create additional internships for our students would be great. We're always interested in kind of encouraging students to go off into internship opportunities, because that's where they really get the real world experience beyond the classroom. And so we're happy with the support we have. We've got internships that are available to our students from the Department of Homeland Security, from the FBI, from various companies in the area. And we're always looking for more of that, because we want to look at it as a collaborative win-win situation where our students could go help those companies and those agencies with tasks that they need while getting real world experience and maybe be able to continue on and contribute in the future. And so I think more of those, more job opportunities, certainly as well, working together to how we can create pathways. One of the things that I'm very excited about is that we've been working with the university with we're trying to form a cybersecurity strategic plan for the regional area that would bring together all of the academic institutions, the industry partners, the government, military partners, and figure out what are our strengths, what are our needs, and how can we work together. And so we've been working with Commissioner Doug Underhill on this project, and with Florida West, and we're looking at right now, it's in the initial phases of trying to figure out across the 5 or 6 county area, where are the cybersecurity doing a needs analysis in collaboration with the Haas Center. In terms of kind of figuring out where are the hotspots, what are the needs for cybersecurity, and how can we then bring in facilitators and consultants to kind of see where we're at as a region, as Pensacola and beyond, and have the entire community work together to really say cybersecurity lives and grows and continues to expand within this area. How can we serve our needs and beyond? So I think there's a role for the community to play a part in that, to support that effort. And I think, you know, back to what Angela said as well, is just for terms of everyone, figure out how you can get involved. Have that maybe conversation with your kids about even something as simple as protecting your own smartphone, right? Mm-hmm. What to do, what
yeah.
not to do.
I've had to have that with my daughters, you know, how to text, how not to text, you know, things that you should, places you should be, places you shouldn't be.
Yeah, when you get an email that you're not sure of, what yeah. to do, when and where to write down your passwords and when not to write down,
yeah.
where not to write down your passwords. So even things like that can help get kids excited, perhaps interested early on. I want to also mention that next week we're hosting at the University of West Florida a public talk on Wednesday, March 9th. It's called Cyber Self-Defense, Protecting Your Online Identity. And this will be by Glenda Snodgrass of the Net Effect. And she had spoken at I-10 Wire last year as well. And we're promoting this as a public talk that's free and open to the community and really just a way to kind of for people to kind of first, like you said, get some initial thoughts about there's a lot of questions that you get from your friends and your neighbors about what to do, what not to do. Well, why not come out and hear from experts in terms of what you can do to make sure you're, you know, getting on a public Wi-Fi? What about accessing your bank account? What about using a network that you're not sure of? Things like that. And so I'd like to encourage the community to come out to that. It's, like I mentioned, Wednesday, March 9th at 5:30 p.m. at the university. And you can find out more information by visiting our website. So it's uwf.edu/cybersecurity. The information on the talk is there if anybody would like to join
and
us.
And we'll put the link on our page, too, when we repost the broadcast.
Great.
So people will be able to find it. What about scholarships for stuff like this? Is that feasible? Are those there? Do you need more? We always need more, right? But
always need more. More scholarships would always be helpful. Yeah. I think it's important, certainly in economic times, to be able to support students through, you know, help them succeed in their programs and their education by giving them scholarships to do that. And so we have scholarships, cybersecurity scholarships that we offer through UWF for students. And this is the second year that we've done that. And we're trying to branch out to kind of help students who are entering the program. So perhaps students who want to transfer in and are close to finishing up, or students who show an interest in a strong kind of academic record. Mm-hmm. We're also working with partners to try to identify scholarship opportunities. So that would be another way that the community could help out as well. We're looking also into national programs that offer scholarship support for students. And I think things like this are important so that we can really kind of let rock stars like Josiah focus on learning the technology and the skills that they need. So things like that are important. One of the things that we're also trying to do is identify research experiences for students that are paid research experiences.
Yeah.
And so we've started a program where we can have students be mentored by faculty or experts in the field and kind of work to on solving real problems, because, you know, cybersecurity is a field that changes almost every week, right? So, the textbooks are very difficult. And so it's great to have people who are at the cutting edge of that, kind of creating new knowledge, and to give students the opportunity to work with them on real experiences that would kind of help solve problems, but also not just that, to pay students to work on those research projects so that they don't have to find jobs elsewhere. Yeah. They can focus on learning.
And give them buy the first car and take the girl out on a date. And all those things that you had to go get a job when you were a kid to do. And,
right.
and now you can get paid to learn at the same time. I think that's a pretty fair trade. How does this get into the other schools? Just out of curiosity, I mean, how does this expand beyond Pine Forest or beyond the other technical centers that we have? How does this get bigger?
Well, one of the things that we're trying to do this summer is host camps beyond the Cyber Patriot that Angela mentioned earlier. And the idea for that is really to kind of figure out how we can do exactly what you mentioned. So how can we start with schools perhaps where there are maybe one or two people interested and try to create more of a academy or a course like Pine Forest has done. So we're hoping to kind of offer some camps, work with the school district. We've got a great partnership with Escambia County. We're trying to also work with our partners in Santa Rosa and other counties to kind of figure out where are the areas where, you know, really kind of talk to them about the need for cybersecurity, the job opportunities, what's happening in our community, and the support that we see from companies like AppRiver and from the government, and say, this is a critical need and this is an opportunity. And so we're hoping that those camps would provide some training not only to high school students, but also to teachers. So kind of a train the trainer model where you could actually get high school teachers involved, maybe take some of the basic skills that they have and figure out how that can lead to perhaps more cyber academy, right? Not necessarily academy out front, but at least a course or a special topic. And then perhaps, hopefully, with the guidance of Pine Forest Cyber Academy, I know Angela is on board with supporting that as well, kind of reach out and say, how can we use this as a model to really expand one school at a time within our region?
And I do believe that our district plans on expanding our cybersecurity into our middle schools.
Yeah. Well, and you're sort of blazing the path here. I mean, you're obviously you're making something that's duplicatable. That was the right word, right? Yeah. You know, to an extent that can be transferred to another school if they have the resources to facilitate it.
It's like Cyberthon, we're already introducing it to elementary students. So our next step would be to start introducing it to the middle school and then get them interested at such a young age, and it can just continue that path.
Fantastic. Sooner than later?
Hopefully.
Sooner than later?
One student at a time. And I think it takes... Like Josiah mentioned, two people, students, to actually tell their friends, tell their siblings, right? Yeah. Tell their parents, because I think they're really the future. And I mean, I think I'm kind of worried now that maybe some of the things Josiah can do better than I can, right? Because they learn so quickly.
I guess you're on my team as far as I'm concerned. Then we're going to keep it that way.
So we really need your help too. We need, I think, the youth to kind of pull together and kind of one person at a time, get others involved. If you think this is cool and your friend's jealous of the job opportunities, get him involved, right?
Yeah.
Tell him to come join you for the next Cyberthon competition. And there's no background required, right? No kind of background skills required. Yeah. They can kind of start wherever. And it's a great way to kind of just get involved and learn it one little piece at a time.
So Josiah, in this community here, aside from Cyberthon, what other events or what other type of events would attract your participation in that way?
The summit in Huntsville, Alabama, is certainly something I'm looking forward to.
And what do they do? What do they do there? How is that sort of structured?
Well, what I think it is, well, I'm not entirely sure, but I'm imagining it's like a cybersecurity comic con. Basically, there's going to be a whole bunch of just different experts, people doing cool things that are going to be there, and there's going to be cool stuff.
There's a whole bunch of sandboxes to attack,
I guess.
Is that? That's essentially how that goes.
We've never been to that summit, but it's a conference. It's one of the larger cybersecurity conferences around. There's going to be a lot of guest speakers. There'll be some training, and they do have a competition that's Save the Flag, I believe is what it's called.
And you said sort of the Comic-Con thing, because that's sort of what gets my head going. But is it sort of all of it? I mean, is it listening to the speakers? Is it doing the competition? Is it just knowing that you're sort of in the room with all of the right people making the right connections? Is it all of that for you, or is it just, I want to go because I'm going to hack the crap out of this computer?
It's really all of it.
Yeah.
I just like, I love smart people, really.
Yeah.
I love talking to experts and, of course, making the connections that will get me more job opportunities in the future.
God, the fact that you grasped that at 15 is huge. Mm-hmm. Seriously, huge. So congratulations to you, and well done on y'all's end for helping facilitate that, because that's huge. I'm just telling you, that's a new generational thing, and to get that young is putting you way ahead of the game, man. So.
And another thing that we plan on doing when we go to Huntsville is there's a high school, Gresham High School, that won Cyber Patriots National Competition 2 years in a row, and we plan on meeting with them folks and find out what they're doing, what we can do better to help improve our academy as well.
Yeah.
So we're excited about meeting them.
Well, and I'd be real curious to see how the take lots of pictures, I guess.
Oh, yes,
you know,
definitely.
I mean, does it, and I'm guessing you sort of find a very broad age range for these events, regardless, because there's just so much under the umbrella. But when, for you to say a Comic-Con, to me, that's a whole different style of summit and hangout, because that's sort of a fun, a laid back thing. Everybody's kind of doing their own thing. You're going to find, you know, what it is that you want or you like. And there's this sort of relaxed thing. Whereas sometimes in my world, you hear summit and you think suits and ties and boring guys talking about stuff. But, you know, for you to be 15 and say, well, I want to go do this, that sparks something in me to really figure it out what it is that's making your gears turn on something like that. So take lots of pictures. Let us know.
I'll try.
So anything that we've missed or anything else that we would like to cover? Do you all have any other events coming up that you need help with or support for?
Well, we still just want to continue to ask the community to be stick for their support.
Yeah.
So certainly, if you've got any ideas for how to kind of continue to expand cybersecurity in the area or you're interested, just reach out to us. Yeah. There's always going to be an opportunity. There's always going to be pathways. There's multiple, even for people career professionals are already in industry thinking about, well, maybe I'm doing something related to that and I might be interested in a career move in cybersecurity. There's certificate programs that we offer, so just two or three courses. There's various training around town that you could do. And so there's great, a lot of ways to get involved. So I would just say, regardless of your age, regardless of your background or skill level at this point, if you're interested in cybersecurity, reach out to any of us and we'd be happy to help kind of put you in the, in touch with opportunities for you.
Yeah. Okay. What's a good website and phone number, information, all that good stuff?
Well, I know for UWF and the activities that we're involved in, the Center for Cybersecurity would be kind of the best resource. So uwf.edu/cybersecurity. And we've got links to our programs, our faculty and research expertise. We've also got the links to the outreach activities that mm-hmm. we do, such as Cyber Patriot and Cyberthon. We've got a video by Commissioner Underhill on Cyberthon and what it's all about. We've got links to our partners, and we've also got resources for people. So if you're thinking about, what do I need to do to practice good cyber hygiene? We've got information for people to kind of look at as well to kind of help them. So that would be, I think, my suggestion.
Very cool.
And if anybody is any middle school student or another high school student who's interested in cybersecurity, can always email me, contact me that way. And my email address is airbyarb@escambia.k12.fl.us.
And we'll include that one on the site too. Yeah.
And then if they want to call Pine Forest, they can call us. It's 850-941-6150.
Very cool. Jim, you know any other resources in town that somebody might want to check out?
I think they've covered it.
Yeah.
I think PSC has some introductory courses if people want to kind of get their feet wet. They may have some certification tracks that would get some of the people involved, but I think you've covered them.
Very cool. Well, we're sort of ending up here on time, but you're a rock star, I told you. And not only did I say it, but now you got two other people saying it, so that makes it real.
I'm sorry. One other thing I want to mention, and Georgetown Technical Center is also part of our school district, and they also have a cybersecurity.
Yeah.
Program there.
A pretty big one at
it's
that.
Pretty big, yes.
And it does some of the same facilitating you guys were talking about. You get some certification. It's a continuing education thing, or it has a younger entry level too, doesn't it?
Well, students can also do dual enrollment when they're in high school too, if they want to do that too.
Yeah. So again, you come out of the gate swinging, ready to go. That's great. Well, I want to thank all of you for coming in this morning and hanging out and sort of enlightening me on this subject. I know there's a lot to learn, and I know it's very big in our community. And I would like to say I appreciate everything that you are all doing, because I think it's a very, very good way to facilitate the gap and show some growth. So thank you. And again, thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you for hosting us.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So you guys, this has been Pensacola Business Radio. You can find us at PCola Radio X on Twitter, at PCola BRX on Facebook, or on our website at pensacola.businessradiox.com. It's been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters. Mm-hmm.